Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond, streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can also stream us on iHeartRadio and TuneIn, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by friends at Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Talking about a potential name change for the Commanders, you can vote on our poll of the day at Junks Radio.
Can I?
Do you want them to go back to the old name? That would be a yes.
Yeah.
Do you not want them to? That would be a no. Or are you over it? Don't care. That's the third option. You can vote again on X at Junks Radio.
Can I just break this up for a second and say, Valdez, I thought you looked great in your seersucker suit
over the
weekend.
Oh, thank you. That. It was a huge, huge ordeal for me that I talked about on Bit Season.
But getting the suit?
No. I got
the wedding.
No. I got the suit.
Yeah.
I got the suit. I got a great deal on the suit.
Yeah.
I paid $50 for that suit.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
That's great.
Now the problem was it was a little ill fitting. It was too big.
I had to go to Taylor.
Yeah. So I went to the Taylor.
That probably cost you $150.
Well, how about $240?
Jeez. So it's 5x amount of the suit.
That's why you can get those things, but yeah.
But I had a great time at the wedding. The suit was a hit.
Yeah.
Congratulations to the Headleys, our former digital lady Caroline.
Right.
That was her wedding.
Yeah.
When she was working with NBC Sports Washington.
Right.
Where was it?
It was in East or St. Michael's.
Beautiful location.
Beautiful spot.
Yeah.
It was never great. Been. I've seen pictures.
Yeah. I mean the venue was off the charts.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Classy endeavor all the way.
Right. I'll be honest, when I first saw it, I didn't know if that was your wedding. I was like, what is going on?
I honestly
didn't even know what was going on.
No, it was
it was Caroline. I saw her.
Then
I put it together.
Yeah.
But I was like, because you know, Matt's private. He's keeping his private life private.
Yeah.
That's fine, I respect it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, what is going on? Did he just get married and not tell us?
I didn't even know it could happen, I guess.
Right. But you look great.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Was the wedding at the, I don't know what the resort's called, but where Wedding Crashers was filmed?
No. That's called the Inn at Perry
Cabin.
That's money.
Yeah, it's
big time.
But I went there and I visited during the Saturday before the wedding. A billion drunk people in their boats that drive by and scream crab cakes and football. That's what Maryland does. I mean, it happens once an hour.
I'm sure it does.
Well, awesome.
Not really advocating for people to be hammered behind the wheel of their boats.
The driver can be sober, but
the
bachelorette party
that's
on the boat
are
screaming it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Understood.
Hmm.
All right, let's pass some of these calls.
Watching Wedding Crashers yesterday.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, it was.
It's so good.
You
know, you can't say anything.
That's ridiculous. You can't say that.
The world of radio sucks.
I think you should be able to say it. But it's okay.
It's ridiculous.
By the way, I finally did see Mission Impossible. I tweeted about it.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't feel like going to theater, so I did Valdez's thing. And I watched it on the box.
Did you watch it uninterrupted?
Don't tell
Kevin. How many times did you get up and like leave and do something else?
I had to go upstairs once. I don't know, maybe twice.
Did you watch it on your big screen?
Tom Cruise doesn't approve.
No, because I don't have that box connected.
Didn't even
downstairs.
Watch it on the big screen.
But it's not. It wouldn't have translated. It's some guy holding a camera in the theater.
What a travesty this is.
But the audio, the thing is, for me, like, I'm an audio guy, and the audio was underwhelming, and that's right.
Right.
It's one thing, right? So I was like, oh, you know what? It's fine. It's ghetto enough. I'll just watch it on this TV, okay? Are there people that can watch that movie and follow every detail? Because
it's hard.
My wife, I got Dina to watch it, and Meg fell already asleep. She couldn't handle it. Dina was like, "What's going on?" And I go, I don't know. Just follow it. Just root for Tom Cruise.
I think sometimes to me,
there's always a
the
twist.
Details
Every
are hard.
Every 2 seconds, there's a
but
twist.
You just need to know he's trying to save the world.
Right. But
that's
they get all the explanations of this key that has to be here to use this walkie-talkie to do this.
The first 30 minutes of the movie, they're trying to explain the previous 7.
I understand, but throughout the movie, it's always another thing and another wire and this one and cut this and 3 do this. And if you don't do that, that'll happen.
Mm.
But it is entertaining. And I do think he's the greatest action hero of all time. But if I had to give that movie a rating, at best, it's a 3 out of 5.
Ooh, that's not
that's
great.
Really
at
low.
Best, that's... because I thought the middle part was boring. Very boring. Would you give it, Valdez? Now, again, I am watching.
You're watching it at home, and I think I gave it.
I think I gave it a 4 out of 5.
You liked it 4 out of 5.
I gave it a 4 out of 5.
I'm also MI Mark.
I love MI, but I always forget how I can't track with all the storylines.
I saw it in the theater. I liked it.
Yeah,
I saw it like really late at night.
Haven't seen
I think
it.
I left.
You were the only
like
person in the theater.
I actually was a little bit disappointed.
Well, my son too.
Yeah.
And but the big stunt was the wing walking stuff.
And yeah, you know, I guess so.
I wish he like jumped out of something more. It was a little disappointing.
That wasn't enough for you.
It wasn't enough for me.
Him being on the wing of a 1930s aircraft.
His face was a little distracting too because he's had work done and it was kind of puffy.
Yeah, yeah.
What did you think of him in his whitey tighties? Although they were black.
Well, I mean, there were a few times, I don't know exactly, like when he was being like tortured, that those scenes. I mean, all I thought about was, he's clearly on testosterone. I mean, that's what I thought.
Like, where can I get some?
I thought he's on the TRT.
Give me a big vial of it.
Somebody told me they had their testosterone. I'm not going to say who. They said it was so low.
It wasn't me.
But said it could have been Jason.
It's definitely somebody we know, the way you're framing it.
Well, I wouldn't say the person. Yeah. You know, this person told me, he was like, dude, it was embarrassing how low it was.
Is he taking measures to improve the number?
He doesn't know. Pondering it.
Cakes, I'm going to see Jurassic Park today.
You are?
Yeah.
The newbie in theaters?
The brand new one.
You're actually going to a theater for the first time in how long?
I mean, what else? I mean, it's... My wife wants to see us. Okay. Right. I haven't seen the movie in years.
Movie review from you tomorrow. Right. Put that on the outline, Drabby.
All right. Let's go to the phones. People still want to chime in. I'm sure we'll be talking about it throughout the show. Trump interjecting himself here, trying to anyway, in this whole name situation, stadium situation. Let's go to Scott in Baltimore. Scott, what's up?
Hey, Jones. How you guys been?
Hey, Scott.
What's good. Up, Scotty?
Hey, man, it's good to hear. I like your NFL hat. Real quick, obviously, Sheffley Tiger-esque yesterday there, Lurch. But Trav Wright, I mean, this is what Trump does. He interjects something, and whether you like him or not, obviously, I think one of the best 6 months in presidential history, but he honestly, he as EV said, right? I'm trying to do X's and O's, but Trav's right, though. He literally, he does this, and then it's like things happen even in the world. I know it's crazy. I agree with you guys. It's kind of crazy how it happens.
It's not going to happen, dude. The Harris doesn't even want it.
This is the other last thing. I think the uniforms that they're putting out, the championship uniforms that I grew up with, that you guys grew up with, they're so exact. I think it will happen. Anyway, you guys have the most awesome show.
Thanks, Scott. I appreciate it. Thank you, Scott.
He's accurate about one thing. We do have the most awesome show.
Eric, what if you could say Harris doesn't want to change the name back, but what if they hold, but if he wants the site for RFK for the stadium so much and they're willing to hold the name hostage over him?
I think it would
him,
be fiscally irresponsible for him and his partners.
Well, what if it's an ultimatum? Ultimatum.
I still think it would be fiscally irresponsible, unfortunately.
So you would say Harris would give up the RFK site because he believes the name is so...
I don't think it would come to that. I don't think Trump would ever do it. He's just talking trash. But
in a world where he did do it,
I think that Harris would just say, then we'll just go somewhere else.
No, I think if it came to that, if there was some sort of ultimatum, he would change the name.
I don't think so. You have to change it back in 2 years.
Maybe
there'll be a new protest.
I know, maybe not.
And there'll be a new columnist in town.
Not if you're.
And there'll be new advertisers to pull their money.
Because the difference was, Snyder had so much swirling, and you mentioned his financial issues.
He had
partners bailing. He had at the time 80 to 90 sponsors who said that they were going
to
bail.
Wherewithal to withstand it.
Okay,
right.
But he also had all of the controversy just being a bad guy, the toxic
Correct.
Workplace,
right.
and everything else swirling
right.
that he just put his hands up. And presumably, Josh Harris wouldn't be in that position. That he would have the minority protesting. Okay, but he wouldn't have all that other noise and the NFL owners against him.
He could withstand the protests. He can't withstand the advertiser boycotts. And that's what I think would ultimately be too big of a threat.
By the way, there's protests everywhere now.
Right.
They're everywhere.
Right.
So the protests, I don't factor that in.
Yeah, the protests are one thing.
Yeah.
But what the problem is the advertiser boycotts. And that's what
spoke. But that was a personal beef.
It was beyond.
No, it wasn't. That's how it all started. Fred Smith
started. That's how it started for Fred Smith. That's
not how it started. He knew he had checkmate on him.
I understand for Fred Smith, but that's not how it started for Mike Wise. That's not how it started for the groups. They, you know, and eventually, in my opinion, the weak companies fall prey to this stuff.
He's going to have the Native American backing. He's going to do it right. He's going to have them all sign up for it and the associations or whatever else he can do.
If it happens, I'll tip my cap to you and say you were correct.
Well, then you've never been more wrong about anything in your life.
I've been wrong about a lot of things.
Well, you're very defiant about this.
I'm willing to bet a large amount of money it doesn't happen.
Well,
but if it does happen, I don't think it's going to. But if it does, I'm sitting next to a guy who's going to drop about $10,000 on new Skins merch.
My daughter was walking around wearing an old Redskins sweatshirt, and I thought it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen.
Nostalgia.
And I'm like, those things probably,
where'd she get those things, have value
like on eBay?
I'm sure maybe. They do.
Like it was like a vintage Redskins hoodie that she got from a friend.
Yeah.
Who's like parents were, and it was like the coolest thing.
I still have Skins gear at my house. You probably still have Skins gear in your closet.
I think it was from like the Zorn era. I threw it away.
You threw it away? Why would you throw it away?
It just reminded me
what
of terribleness.
What exactly was it?
I had a huge
sweatshirt?
Sideline jacket. Whatever. Oh. I got rid of it.
Hey, you got to the point where you threw your gear away. I didn't realize that you just tossed it. Bet you wish you had it back.
It wasn't as cool as the vintage stuff that my daughter had.
I understand, but it's still like it's hard to come by at this point.
Remember when I dressed up as Zorn?
I remember.
All that stuff.
Boobash, boobash.
Yeah,
that
was like 15, 18 years ago.
Yeah,
it was
a long time ago.
Yeah, I threw all that stuff away.
Right.
I just have the crickety jersey.
I have that.
Oh, I have.
I'll never get rid of that.
Jacket, hoodie, hats, beanies. I got everything.
You can't imagine how many closets you have. I've got a lot of stuff.
Got a lot of beanies.
Let's go to Peter in Atlanta.
Need more.
Peter, what's up, buddy?
What's up?
What's up, Peter?
So, first of all, I think it's an inappropriate action for the president to insert himself in this to begin with. I don't think he should be doing that. It's a business decision for Harris and his group, and it should be their decision to make. That being said, I don't think it's going to change. With all due respect to Sabah, you can't compare this to a football game and picking a winner. This is a business decision. This is a business deal. This is a business thing. And if Snyder had done it,
the reason why the name changed and what caused the name to change are two different things. So what caused the name to be changed was a business action.
Yes.
And that business action, he has to do business actions to get it back. So one of the things that Snyder didn't do, which probably because nobody would agree to do it with him, is he never had anybody. One of the big questions I always ask, if the team truly believes the name is not offensive, why do they not have Native American nations that are clamoring for the name to come back? Why are they not standing with him in a press conference defending it? That's because nobody wants to stand with Snyder to do anything.
He tried to get a few groups to write letters.
They don't want to have anything to do with him.
Well, didn't he have a fake? Didn't he have
had a fake? He tried to do some stunts.
He
ran like a tow truck company.
The bottom line is, he tried to pass off as an Indian chief.
Yeah.
Harris could do that. But the president pushing this the way he's pushing it messes up the timeline that Harris could possibly use to even do it the right way. Stay out of it. If indeed he is trying to get it back, let him do it in the time that he needs to do it to make it the proper business deal. Pushing it this hard and making threats to pull the stadium and stuff is not a good idea.
Do you really believe he's pushing it, or do you believe he got asked
a question on the runway about 2 weeks ago, and then he just threw out a tweet? To me, at first glance, it felt like something that Snyder and the organization would do back in the day when they were just trying to move your eyes off the ball. Yep. They would sign Donovan McNabb when there was controversy. Like, he's throwing it out there to create a new storyline.
Yeah, him offering his opinion on the runway.
I disagree with that part.
They asked him a question, and he decided to answer it.
Yeah.
Him saying, I'm going to pull the stadium deal if they don't change it, that's where the line got crossed.
Right, but he's not going to do that. He's just talking trash.
It doesn't matter. Shouldn't even say it.
That's fine.
That's just the way it is, though.
That you could disagree.
Stay out of it. Stay out of it.
Who cares?
That's the way.
He's just talking trash.
Let Harris move on the timeline he's moving. Because if he is indeed going to try to change the name back, doing it under this type of pressure is not the smart way to do it.
He's not going to do it. I don't even think Harris wants to do it.
Between you and I don't think he's going to do it either.
Right.
I don't think it's the business deal he wants to make. And you mentioned him saying Commanders every 2 seconds.
Yes.
That brand recognition. He is pushing the brand, the current brand, to grow it. And frankly, he's not thinking. He has to think about. I know what Kevin Sheehan has said this on his show a million times. He is thinking about his future customers, and his future customers are not attached to the Redskins name.
Yes, the young people don't care.
And there was a survey. There was a survey. Right. There was a survey recently.
Yeah. Thanks, Thank you, Peter.
There was
Thank
a survey you. Recently, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it showed that the hatred towards the new name has dissipated, and more people are coming around to it. It's still not an overwhelming majority, but it's moving.
The same way people were resistant to Wizards 20-plus years ago, they've grown to accept it. Is it a great name? No, but people have learned to live with it.
What's the poll number?
The name is awful.
What's the updated poll number?
People that want the name to change to Redskins?
Skins, yes.
58.2%.
All right.
It's a lot lower than you'd expect.
Yeah.
I think you'd think 99% would want it to go back to Redskins. It's not 99%.
I'm guessing a lot of people just don't care.
I bet you more people know the team as the Washington whatevers than they do Commanders today. It's a pretty good brand. And the most powerful guy in the country refers to you as the whatevers.
Well, he's right in the sentiment. His sentiment is correct. They never should have changed it. He should have had the financial wherewithal to withstand it. But he changed it, and now it's too late. The milk is spilled. It's over. We lost. I'm taking an L. We lost.
2-2.
We have a brutal name for as long as I'll be alive. I should just walk around with a big L on my T-shirt.
That's going to be such a meme.
Phone number's 1-800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. You can vote at Junks Radio as well. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. We'll talk to Nikki Javala, covers the Commanders, the Washington Post. She'll jump on at 8 o'clock. The Veterans Report tomorrow, training camp officially underway on Wednesday. But join us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude's the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Jason Sobel, Sirius XM, CBS Sports HQ golf analyst. Hey, Jason.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing great, man. So Scotty did it. Dominating fashion. I don't know how many times, what they say, 9 for 9, 10 for 10 now, and just regular tournaments, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 for 5 now, and majors when he's had 54-hole lead. Didn't really blink yesterday. Had an opportunity there where he double bogeyed. What was that? Eight.
Then he birdied 9.
It birdies it right away, and it pretty much, you know, smooth sailing from there. Was never really in doubt, was it?
No, it wasn't. And look, I know some people have criticized Scottie Scheffler. If you're going to criticize the guy who's winning like this for being quote unquote boring, and this is what golf looks like at its highest level. Even Tiger Woods, like Tiger, missed half the fairways, and you know, Tiger would put on some fireworks when he'd have to, you know, bend one around a tree or hit one out of the lip of a bunker. Scotty kind of does what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to stand on the tee box. The goal is, let's hit it down there as far as we can in the fairway, and then let's hit the next one on the green, and then let's go try to make the putt because that's a birdie and those are good. And he's boiled it down to such simplicity that you almost watch him and say, well, why doesn't everybody else just try to hit it really far in the fairway and then onto the green and then roll in a putt? It feels so simple, and I can understand the notion that people look at it and go, well, it's kind of boring because, you know, he took all the air out of the balloon. We were all excited to wake up early and watch the Open Championship and see all these great players contending for a title, and Sunday turned into a coronation, and that's because Scotty just did it better than everybody else.
Well, and a lot of people, Jays, think that his personality is boring as well. I mean, winning putt, and it looked like he had just won a college tournament. This is the Open. So that's he's also getting criticized for his personality, not just his game. What are your thoughts on that? And I just think, I mean, he did show a little emotion when he took the hat off and his wife and son came up. So he was screaming a little bit, but a lot of people criticize him because he's just not very emotional on the course.
I understand, you know, the lack of emotion on the golf course. Again, this kind of comes hand in hand with being a great golfer. If you're out there like Tyrrell Hatton throwing clubs and, you know, then smiling your way around when something's good, like there's a maybe why he's one of the more talented players in the world and hasn't won a major championship. You kind of need to be a little flatlined when you're out there. That said, I would not mistake the lack of emotion inside the ropes and on the golf course for a lack of personality and a lack of anything going on with Scotty. We all heard that response of more than 5 minutes to a question in his press conference before the tournament last week, which I thought was some of the more introspective, insightful comments that I've ever heard from any superstar athlete, let alone just a golfer. So I think Scotty's got a lot going on as far as, you know, just his thoughts internally on, you know, what it means to be a great golfer, what it means in his life, how he sort of prioritizes that. I think it's all really, really interesting stuff.
It is interesting, but isn't it kind of, I hate to even talk about this stuff, but it's like life is kind of that way, right? You work so hard for something, you achieve it, and then a half hour later you're at dinner with your family and you're like, what's next? I mean, that's kind of life. It's how it works for all of us.
Yeah. Look, David Duval dealt with this years ago, won the Open Championship, reached the pinnacle, the mountaintop of everything he tried to achieve, and he's talked very openly about, you know, I got on the plane, I had the claret jug, and I'm like, all right, now what?
Yeah.
And Scotty was very prescient in that press conference, saying, I might win this week, I'm going to have two major championships, you guys next week are going to be like, hey, do you think you can win the FedEx Cup?
Right.
It's something that Rory McIlroy has dealt with over the last 3 months. I don't think Rory has quite said it as eloquently and openly as Scotty Scheffler has, but Rory's entire goal since he was 6 years old was to win the career Grand Slam, to win every major championship. He did that in April, and a week later, us media guys are like, so, what's next? You're going to win the next one? And, you know, you just kind of move on. And you're right, life moves on, and that's part of what happens. But I think for these guys, there's a little bit of a struggle. And, you know, I get that, you know, it's very hard for the common person out there who's watching them to try to relate to, oh, wow, they won another major. You know, life must be so tough. But I think there is some sort of grappling with, like, what does it all mean? Okay, I'm the greatest for 1 week at a really special place of hitting a little golf ball into a hole that's 400 yards away. What does it all mean? What do I get from it? What do I derive from it? And how do I both celebrate what I just did and not rest on what I just did and move forward and try to do it again? I think there's a lot of different layers to it.
So, Jason, what is next for Scheffler is the career slam. He's 75% of the way there. The next opportunity is at Shinnecock at the U.S. Open. Do we even look now at the courses for him? Does it even matter, like, how good he is at a course? Because he's so dominant, that skill should translate to whatever course he plays on.
You know what course fits Scotty Scheffler's game? One with 18 holes and 18 cups cut into the ground with flag sticks. And I mean, it's just there's not a course right now that you would look at and say it doesn't fit him. In fact, I might suggest that the U.S. Open of the four major championships suits his game the most. Very much like I might have suggested a year ago that despite all of his ups and downs and struggles and close calls, that Augusta National had always suited Rory McIlroy maybe better than the other three major championships. And he, of course, finally got that title this year. So, I you know, look, nothing is inevitable. But Scottie Scheffler is very, very close to inevitable. And I would be very surprised if he doesn't, at some point in the next few years, claim a U.S. Open title. And if he was to do it next year, his 30th birthday just happens to be during Sunday's final round at Shinnecock, which would be kind of cool to see him do that the day he turns 30.
Talking to Jason Sobel from SiriusXM, CBS Sports HQ golf analyst. So people want to make the comparison to Tiger Woods in this area of era of dominance for Scottie Scheffler. Brooks Koepka kind of had an era like that. Rory had an era. Jordan Spieth as well. What makes Scheffler different than those guys?
I think what Scheffler is doing is on a higher level than all of those guys. That said, I have always maintained that we shouldn't compare anybody else to Tiger Woods. That's not fair to Tiger. and it's not fair to Scottie Scheffler. That said, there are certainly some aspects of what Scheffler is doing that are very much like what Tiger Woods did when he was in his prime. I look at just the way Scottie approaches major championships as very Tiger-like. And what I mean by that is I always thought Tiger, in revisionist history, I mean, we think back about Tiger and you go, he shot 65 every round and he won by 37. That didn't really work that way. Tiger at major championships would essentially, it's like a heavyweight prize fighter, throw a couple of jabs, see what the opponent has, see what you can take, and then you kind of move on. You don't need to go win the fight in the first round. You just make sure you don't lose it and get punched in the face. And Scottie Scheffler has very much taken on that mentality. If you listen to him after a first round, really of any golf tournament, but especially a major championship, even after the second round, he's just sort of like, ho-hum, yeah, okay, I'm on the leaderboard, that's great. And now I've gotten myself into position to where I want to be. It's a lot of that has to do, I think, with the inner self-confidence, knowing that if I go out there and just don't make mistakes, everyone around me is just going to kind of fall off the pace a little bit, and I can do my thing and go win this golf tournament. But that part of it is very Tiger-like, and there's a few other parts of what Scottie's doing that resemble Tiger. But again, I don't think it's fair to make those comparisons. If Scottie keeps up this pace for another 10 years, then we can start making those comparisons. But Tiger did it at a very high level for a very long time.
I mean, Scottie, he hadn't missed a cut since 22. If he plays poorly, he finishes 20th.
Yep.
He's got...
Well, Tiger was like that.
Comparing him to Tiger. I'm just talking about Scottie for the last couple of years. He's got 12 wins in his last, 25 tournaments? Something like that. I mean, it's absurd what he's doing right now. That's what it is. It's
absurd. Who's the biggest threat on the horizon? There are a lot of great young players coming up, too.
It's a great question. Some players might mature older than others, I still think. And he's playing live golf, so you can't really compare. I still think Rahm is one of the top five players in the world. It didn't quite show it this past week, although he's playing a little bit better at the major championships. I think Ludvig Åberg is going to be a generational talent. That said, it's been a down year for him. He won earlier in the year at Torrey Pines and hasn't really done a whole lot since then, especially in the major championships. So he's so far from Scottie. I mean, it's, to even mention that, to say, well, I think Ludvig's going to be pretty good in the next few years, but like Scottie's at such a level right now that, when we say someone's going to challenge him, I mean, look, he lost a major championship last month and so did everybody else to JJ Spaun, which we never would have seen happening. But, these stories happen and weird things happen, but Scottie is certainly head and shoulders above everybody else right now. And for a slow-moving game, we talked a lot about pace of play over the last week at the Open Championship. Golf moves fast. The narratives move fast. It was only about 3 or 4 months ago when Scottie Scheffler was coming off-season hand surgery and came back and didn't win for, I think, his first, eight events of this year. And everyone's like, I don't know, Rory might be the best player in the world right now. I don't know if Scottie's still got it. And all of a sudden, a few months later, we're like, yeah, there's no one that's touching Scottie Scheffler. He's that much better than everybody else. And but guys, one more note, and I'm going to bring this up because I just wrote a piece on it and I just did all the research. Over the last 4 years, which includes Scottie's first win in 2022 at the WM Phoenix Open, how about this for a little betting note? If you had thrown $100 on Scottie for an outright play every single time he teed it up, you would be up right now in his 81 starts. You would put out $8,100 and you'd be up $10,780.
Wow.
It's a pretty good return.
Might start doing that. Yeah, hey, real quick before we let you go, we're a couple months away, but Ryder Cup at Bethpage, what's the most interesting storyline for you, even though we're 2 months out?
I think it's got to be Keegan Bradley.
Whether or not he's going to be a playing captain, right?
Yeah. Yep. I don't think there's a way that Keegan Bradley is not on this team. He's playing such a high level of golf right now. He's top 10 in the world. I didn't see this morning where he wound up in the world ranking. He played pretty well again this past week. He was 7th coming in. He's probably still right around that. If you're 7th in the world, it stands to reason you're one of the top 12 in the U.S., and he's got to be on this team. I think nobody's more motivated to play really good golf over the first 2 weeks of the FedEx Cup playoffs, which I assume the next time we'll see Keegan Bradley, because if you're in the top six, you automatically qualify. If you're not, you need a captain's pick. Knowing Keegan, and I've gotten to know him pretty well over the years, I've got to imagine that nothing is sort of haunting him more than having a press conference in front of the world where he says, and my next captain's pick is me. Mm-hmm. Even though he deserves it, even though nobody will argue with it, I just don't think that's in his makeup. That's not in his personality. Tiger had to do it once at the President's Cup, but Tiger is Tiger. Tiger can go, I'm taking me, and everyone goes, yeah, of course you are. You're Tiger Woods. Mm-hmm. Keegan Bradley says, I'm taking me, especially after the drama of 2 years ago when he could have, should have, would have been on that team and didn't make it. I just think it's a little strange for him. I think it's a weird predicament, but unless he goes out there and wins or finishes very near the top of a couple of playoff events, it's probably going to happen that way.
Mm-hmm. Jason, great stuff. It's Jason Sobel from SiriusXM and CBS Sports HQ. Always love having you on.
Appreciate it, guys. Yeah.
Thanks, Jason.
Nikki Javala from the Washington Post is going to join us coming up at 7 as we get into Commanders training camp. We talked a lot about Trump's posts and whether that moves the ball for the name, whether a name change is coming. Coming up next, we'll give you the latest on Terry McLaurin. Will that drama end? All right, so I got to tell you, I thought Terry McLaurin would have signed by now. Back when we started talking about this,
yeah,
months ago, really, I figured since the last time when he had his mini camp skip and all that stuff.
He signed on July
6th. I think he signed on July 6th.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a similar timeline.
Yeah. Well, this is clearly more complicated with different people running the team.
Valdez, do you have our predictions written down that we did like, I think, a week or 10 days ago?
I think I know them.
I'm July 30th.
He's July 30th. You're August 3rd, and I'm August 8th.
I don't know who to believe because Jeremy Fowler says they're not close with the numbers, and then Ian Rappaport is going on his Twitter saying they're going to come to an agreement on a deal in the next few days. Who do I believe?
I have you cakes you down for August 16th.
16th? That seems like a long time.
I think that was...
Seems like a long way off.
I thought you were ahead of me.
I thought I was August 1 to August 3rd.
I have the 8th, the 30th, and the 16th. And then July 24 was Grant's.
I generally trust your record keeping, so we'll just, I guess that's true.
All right, well, you might be closer
than us. I don't know who to believe. I don't know. I'm completely flummoxed with the Terry McLaurin thing.
I would lean on Breer over Fowler for some reason.
I probably would too, but I would lean more on.
But I don't think Fowler just makes stuff up. No,
I would lean more on Rappaport if that stooge Ron Rivera was still running.
Why do you say Fowler? He said Rappaport.
Well, here's Fowler chiming in.
Things stand between the Commanders and Terry McLaurin.
Well, Terry McLaurin, Courtney, remains frustrated. They have not had meaningful conversations on a deal in a while. I checked with Washington. They have no plans to trade Terry McLaurin. They do want him there long term. The question is, are they willing to meet this market that's gotten crazy where players are making $30 plus million a year at the receiver position? My sense is they're just not even close to that there, and McLaurin senses that, which is why he's speaking out publicly. So they have a big gap they got to try to fill here. But it looks like he's going to be a Commander regardless. They got to try to shake this out here soon.
I think when he says that, he's obviously saying they're not going to trade him, and he's got a contract, and he's not going to sit out. What's he going to do to make $20 million this year or whatever? He's not going to sit out.
I don't know if he has any new information.
Yeah, because
he's doing a national report.
He had nothing.
On a national
Most of those
level,
guys have nothing.
On a national level, they're not following Eastern Motors.
He had nothing.
Right.
Yeah. He said it was his instinct.
Fowler was the one from the beginning who was way ahead of this and said that he was disgruntled and disappointed.
Okay.
Way before anyone else knew that.
Okay, but currently he had nothing.
So if you had to choose between Cakes makes an option, you got to choose between Fowler and Albert Breer. Drab, who are you siding on? You're a Fowler guy.
I guess I'm siding with Fowler.
Yeah, but I credit him for initially reporting it, but I don't think anything new.
I don't think I'm with you.
I just feel like Rappaport's more plugged in. I just trust him more.
One, they're probably talking
for whatever reason.
I mean, you mentioned Breer.
Last week he said.
I think it was Rappaport.
We haven't even spoken in a month.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, look, anything can happen over the course of a day or two or three. You know, they can meet in the middle, but when you haven't spoken to your employer in a month about a contract, doesn't sound like they're that close. But we don't know the numbers. We have no idea what the numbers are. If Fowler is right that Washington's not near $30 million a year and they're at 25, then that's probably going to take a while.
The thing that has thrown me the entire time is of all the people, literally all the people, all the people in D.C., all the people on this team, you're going to make some weird financial stand on. Like a few, relatively speaking, what did he buy the team for? $6 billion?
Yep, $6.05 billion.
I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but a couple million dollars here and there, and I know there's salary cap implications. This is the guy, the heart and soul of the team, the guy everybody loves. He's like literally, even if some people don't think he's that great, they all respect him as a human being. And this is the guy you're going to take a stand on? I don't see it.
Seems peculiar.
I think eventually the Commanders are just going to come correct. And even if it means overpaying them a little bit. Right. Sometimes you do that. That's what happens in sports. Guys get overpaid. They don't live up to their contracts. I think he probably will. But sometimes you risk overpaying guys.
Look, if Adam Peters is having sticker shock because the number is going to start with a 3, get over it. That's the going rate for a top wideout in the league. Now, am I saying he deserves Ja'Marr Chase money where he's making $40 million? No, but I feel like he's proven enough, especially with the season he posted last year with finally a good quarterback throwing him the ball, that he probably deserves something in the vicinity of a $30 million+ deal.
I'm not saying give him a Strasburg deal.
No, it doesn't have to be a 5 or 6 year deal.
Yeah.
Give him a 2 to 3 year extension and let's get it done. Because you're going to get it done eventually.
I know I've been saying this for weeks. There's still time.
Plenty of time. There is.
Understood.
I know the camp starts. Guys are in camp today and tomorrow, and camp starts this week. But he doesn't have to be there. And maybe he will be there. I don't know. But he doesn't have to be there playing at the opening of camp. There's still time.
I was thinking about this as I was driving in this morning. And I'm sorry I don't have Adam Peters' complete bio memorized. But am I wrong? Did he start out with the Patriots?
Yes, he was with the Patriots.
So maybe there's a little of the Belichick influence there. I was trying to sort this out.
I'm sure there is.
That Belichick influence where Belichick would try to get rid of a guy or not pay a guy late in his career, try to stay ahead of that curve. I mean, hell, he got rid of Tom Brady. There's probably some of that influence in there.
I'm sure there's some of that residue in his brain.
It's weird if this is the guy you're going to make a stand on.
It's also weird that they're making a stand on age when they bring back Bobby Wagner, they bring back Zach Ertz. Like, they've leaned in on some of these old guys.
Eckler,
Von Miller.
Yeah, but those are one-year
Eckler's
deals.
Up there. I mean, maybe not to the extent of Wagner and Ertz, but he's
Von
an
Miller,
older running
but
back.
They only gave him $1 million or $1.5 million.
Mm-hmm. No, they gave Miller more than that. They gave him like 6.1.
Yeah, the original reporting was wrong.
Yeah, 6.1. He can make up to $10 million with the
sentence. All right, so $6 million. All right.
But still.
And that would make more sense.
Yeah.
But unless the McLaurin camp is just asking for an outrageous number.
Which they could be.
They could be
going in asking for $36 million per year. And if that's the case, then I could see why Adam Peters and his henchmen are balking at it. We're not going to give you $36 million.
If they're asking for mid-30s, mid to high 30s, right. Then, and I don't think McLaurin and his agent would be that stupid. Maybe they are.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe they're shooting for Justin Jefferson type of money, AAV-wise.
Yeah.
Maybe not term, but per year.
Just give him the AAV that's reasonable and shorten the term and be done with it.
Just give him like the DK Metcalf deal and shave a year off the end of it. And let's get this thing done.
It's so weird. This is the guy that they're going to risk pissing off and risk losing a little public sentiment. It's just weird.
Well, look how pissed TJ Watt was and all the reports. How many times was he on a potential trade list?
Got something Miles Garrett was.
Yeah, I mean, they're all getting traded. They're all pissed off.
99 times out of 100, it works out. We've been through this long enough.
They signed a ridiculous contract.
We're not naive, but it's just wild that I think it's safe to say that it's been more acrimonious than anybody had anticipated.
They have said they have no intentions of trading him, so you can feel good about that.
Yeah.
It's just going to take some time.
I know he's going to suit up.
Will it happen this week?
I have no idea. Next four days. I'm out on this one. This has gone way longer.
We had Rich Snyder on the last hour, and he seemed to think that he's going to get done before training camp.
Jay's has happened this week.
This week? No.
I'm upping my timeline. It happens this week.
I'm going to say no.
I don't even know what your timeline is.
I don't know what
he's got to use August 16th.
I'm all over the map.
They report tomorrow, right? And then they hit the field and a few days later.
Wednesday.
Tomorrow would be a perfect time to announce it because he misses nothing.
I just want to see the numbers.
You know what? A perfect time to announce it would be right about now. Because we can ride it through the rest of this show and through tomorrow's show. Please announce it now. Please announce the extension.
It's so weird.
Please play the breaking news sounder at some point soon.
Has he changed anything on his Instagram?
I'm not keeping up with his Instagram.
I need to check.
All right. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Coming up next, Nikki Javala from the Washington Post here on The Junkies.